The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throne monarch better than his crown. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 94, The Cloak and Compassion. I am Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
The tradition of costumes taking center stage in the Jewish celebration of Purim is widely known, but often misunderstood. These manners of dress are largely linked to Esther's hiding of her own identity. But rightly understood, the exact opposite is true. Just as Esther ultimately, forthrightly, stood up for her people, so too, in wearing costumes that make them appear to be disguised, Jews continue on Purim to perform mitzvot that highlight the fact that their outward attire does not actually impact their covenantal calling. As I noted in commentary, we wear costumes not to disguise ourselves, but rather to emphasize that no superficial sartorial selection can alter who we are, so that even if we are dressed up as a person from another place and time, we will still engage in the central mitzvot of the day, which are first and foremost mitzvot of compassion and fellowship. Matanot levyonim, gifts to the poor. Mishloach manot, sending portions of food to others. And fostering the celebration of the Purim meal on behalf of those who may have difficulty observing it. One can dress up, in other words, as King Xerxes and still make manifest how one's inner feelings of fellowship and of compassion are unimpacted by one's clothing. This is not to say that attire is utterly insignificant for Judaism. As we have seen in a previous episode of 10 Minute Mitzvah, the sartorial splendor of the Kohanim is extremely important. And when it comes to those in society whose choice of attire is quite limited, the Torah is insistent that we take note of the importance of what that person has, and in the moment, make manifest mercy, a virtue which, a calumny in Shakespeare notwithstanding, truly lies at the heart of Judaism. Let me explain my meaning. Our mitzvah for the day, like yesterday's mitzvah, deals with the case of a borrower and a lender, and of an object taken in collateral. Yesterday we saw how one is prohibited from taking part of a poor person's mill to ensure repayment of the loan. Here, Exodus describes a borrower that claims only one cloak. This is chapter 22, verse 25. Im chavol tachbol salmat reyecha ad bo ha-shemesh teshivenu lo. Or in the Sepharia translation, if you take your neighbor's garment and pledge, you must return it before the sun sets. Ki hi ksuto levada, hi simlato leoro, bame yishkav. It is the only available clothing. It is what covers the skin. In what else shall your neighbor sleep? In other words, just as one must ensure the ability of the borrower to bake bread, one must always allow for the borrower to be able to sleep at night. If you have taken a cloak that is the sole covering of the individual to whom you have lent money, that cloak must be returned in the evening. To put it slightly differently, the Torah is asking, if you have not allowed another to sleep at night, how can you sleep at night? And thus the conclusion of the verse, describing one whose cloak has been taken, is so striking. Fahaya ki yitzak elai. Therefore, if that person cries out to me, Vishamati, I will pay heed, ki chanun ani, for I am compassionate. Show compassion by returning a cloak. Otherwise, you will stand before God in judgment, the Almighty, who is so merciful. Thus, a simple obligation regarding garments is actually all about the importance of compassion in Jewish life. It's with this in mind that we can approach the infamous statement about mercy said in a famous play by a character who has cloaked her identity. Portia in The Merchant of Venice, who appears within a Venetian court and speaks to Shylock. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throne monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty, wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the heart of kings. It is an attribute to God himself. An earthly power doth then show likest God's, when mercy seasons justice. And then the disguised Portia adds, therefore, Jew, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. So, Portia says, the implication here, of course, is that Jews only seek justice, an implication with a terrible legacy in literature and beyond. And it is a calumny belied by exactly what God says at the very heart of Jewish law. Vishamati ki chanun ani, for I will hear the poor person's plea, for I am merciful, I am compassionate. At the heart of the Book of Esther is the truth that both justice and mercy are important. Justice is essential when facing egregious evil. For as the Talmud noted, mercy to the very wicked is ultimately an act of cruelty when it comes to the innocent. This Judaism taught to the world, but it also taught to the world the mitzvah of mercy itself. Long before Portia, Jews proclaimed that God is crowned with compassion. And the law of the cloak reminds us that no amount of calumnies can cloak the fact that mercy lies at the heart of the ethic that Judaism gave to the world. This is Meir Soloveitchik, wishing all of you a meaningful Tanit Esther and a joyous Purim, signing off.